PAs, allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Welcome back to another episode of the Alphabet Mafia podcast. Today, I am talking to Adam, aka that prosecutor over on TikTok. He is a bisexual lawyer, and we are talking about the LGBT panic defense, the gay and trans panic defense loophole, if you will. I know it's been quite the concern on TikTok of recent, and there's a Senate vote coming up this summer, so figured it's a great topic to talk about. Everyone should be aware of this, and I think this conversation will provide a lot of value to those wondering what this is and what we can do about it. But real quick, because I know this is a bit of a quick one, I want to talk to you about Manscaped. If you've been listening for a while, you know Manscaped is the only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. They make shaving your balls, shaving down there, so much easier, so stress-free, anxiety-free, no nicks, no cuts. Their third-generation Lawnmower 3.0 is an ergonomically designed razor. It's waterproof, it's cordless, and there's no nicks, no cuts, no blood anywhere, no worries. Listen, I don't even have the freaking reed in front of me. I'm just speaking from experience using the products that Manscaped sent me. It's not only that. They have ball deodorant. They have ball toner. They have everything you could ever want to keep your family jewels in tip-top shape. Do you work out? Do you cut your hair? Do you wash your body? Well, you take care of all those other parts of your body. Why aren't you taking care of your balls? Seriously, a no-brainer. Go over to manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM for 20% off and free shipping. That's GAYFAM. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Do yourself and your balls a favor this quarantine and go on over to manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM. All right, enough about balls. Let's get to the show. Adam, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know that this whole LGBT panic defense loophole, if you want to call it that, is becoming a big thing, especially on TikTok, and a lot of young people are concerned about it and worried about it. Before we dive into that, why don't you just kind of introduce yourself and tell the audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Adam. I'm a criminal prosecutor in Minnesota. I've been licensed as an attorney here since the beginning of 2015. I'm also bisexual and I'm on TikTok. So
there you go.
There we go.
What's your at on TikTok?
That prosecutor.
Okay, cool. That prosecutor. So you're a defense attorney.
No, prosecutor.
What? Oh, prosecutor. Sorry. Yeah. what do you think of what's going on right now with the Ahmaud case? Just like from your general knowledge of it, do you have any opinions on it?
Professionally, it's hard to form an opinion with just small pieces of evidence and not the whole story. Mm. But from what I've seen come forward, it makes no sense to me that it took so long to get charged out.
Mm.
I mean, yeah. Usually when people are doing a self-defense claim, it's an affirmative defense, so they bring it up during the case. Unless it's like very clear that this is self-defense, it's not really an excuse not to charge in my book anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think that is an obvious case of, I don't know the whole legal, I don't know the whole, how it works, but like, was it the judge, but somebody got paid off or they were in bed, the two perpetrators were in bed with someone that's why it took so long? Is that what was happening?
I don't know. I know there were talks about the connections of the dad with the system, with his prior work. I don't know if that's what did it. If race played a factor, I'm sure there was a mix of things.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I just know that's a huge deal right now, and it's kind of scary that it's still happening in 2020. Something like that, where you can just be jogging out for a run and be gunned down the next thing you know. So let's talk about the LGBT panic defense. What is the LGBT panic defense in your definition and your understanding of it?
So when we're talking about the LGBTQ plus panic defense, more traditionally called the gay panic defense or trans panic defense, it's kind of a misnomer because it's not a defense in its own right. So in the legal world, when we're talking about a defense, we're talking about a recognized legal strategy that exists either in a statutory scheme, court rules, or whatnot. What this is using the fact of a victim's sexual orientation or gender identity or the expression of those things toward another person and tagging that onto an existing legal defense, such as self-defense, diminished capacity, or provocation to convince a jury or a judge to either acquit the person of the crime, to instead find them guilty of a lesser crime, or to mitigate sentencing if they are convicted of the crime.
Okay, and how many states? It's legal in 31 states, I believe, right? Some have it like out have said that that's not a plausible defense strategy, and then others are like introducing bills on that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So when we talk about it being legal in states, it's hard to say that it's legal because, again, it's not. It doesn't stand on its own as a defense strategy. You're not going to find panic defense in any statute or court rule. So when we're talking about the number of states that you can use it in, it's hard to gauge because courts also have a lot of power with evidence and with jury instructions. So even though there's no legislation, courts in the state may be saying, well, no, this isn't going to fly with us, so it's not going to happen. But as you noted, there is legislation. That's the easiest way to look at these states are where it's not possible to do it in because the legislature said this is not an excuse. And as of my last count, I think there were 10 states where it passed, and there's another 8 states plus the District of Columbia where it's pending. It's also pending federally, of course.
Okay. And how long, what's the history of it? How long has this been a strategy or it's been present in court cases?
So the history of gay panic goes back about exactly a century. When a some doctor introduced homosexual panic into terminology, did studies on it, and it was more about this panic that latent or closeted homosexuals felt if they were threatened with being outed, you know. So it was more about then having the abandonment of a heterosexual partner than being come onto by a homosexual partner. Of course, that evolves. The earliest case I've found, I haven't done an extensive study in case law on it. The earliest one I found was, I believe, the 1940s. So as a court strategy, it's been around a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm. And you said that it was studied by a guy the guy introduced gay panic as like a term. Is it rooted in this sort of old age homophobia where people didn't understand homosexuality in the 40s as they did now, or it wasn't as accepting? So is it a strategy that's kind of rooted in backwards ideology?
I would say pretty much anything regarding homosexuality prior to 1960s is going to be rooted in that. But obviously his subjects were rooted in this because they were closeted homosexuals who desperately wanted to be accepted as heterosexuals. Situations would create this gay panic in them, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
Okay. And how recent has it been used? Has there been any big cases where it's been effective and actually has lessened the sentence of someone?
Yeah, it's been effective several times, going all the way back to 1944. I don't know if you're familiar with the big Beat Generation authors, people like Allen Ginsberg, William Burroughs, Jack Kerouac, but they all went to Columbia together and they had a mutual friend that actually introduced them all. I'm sorry, I got to look at my facts again.
You're good.
Lucien Carr. And they had another friend there too named David Kaminer, who was Lucien Carr's scoutmaster previously, and Carr accused him of following him from city to city and making inappropriate advances toward him after killing him and ended up getting a lesser plea because of that. Most famously, I know a lot of people like to talk about the Shepherd case. Obviously didn't work in the Shepherd case, thank God, and the Shepherd case opened up a lot of hate crime legislation. But even before that, in 1995, there was the Jenny Jones case with Scott Amador going on the Jenny Jones show to confess his love for his neighbor. And there were allegations that that night they had some romantic involvement. And then several days later, Amador left a suggestive note at his neighbor's house. The neighbor decided to go buy a shotgun, go to Amador's house, confront him, shot him in the chest twice, and then claimed diminished capacity because of the shock of all that. And
that stood, that helped him.
So he was, in a normal case with those kinds of facts, I would expect to have a premeditated murder charge Because obviously he went out and bought the gun. He confronted him at the house and then went back to his car, got the gun, and then brought it back in and shot him. That sounds like a plan. But he was only found guilty of second-degree murder, which is not premeditated.
Wow. Yeah, that it's definitely a plan. It's not that's not something that you just pull out your ass or start panicking about. You know, there's many steps that have to be taken. You have to be in that emotional state of anger for quite some time to pull that off, going through all that. When was this most recently used, if you have that knowledge off the top of your head? Like, what has it been something that's – so we're talking about, like, the 90s and early 2000s. Has it happened in, like, say, since 2010?
Yeah, I know there was for sure a case in 2015 where two friends were hanging out together playing guitar, and then one friend ended up stabbing another in the back, and he claimed that it was he was trying to fend off a sexual assault. The physical evidence didn't indicate any sign of sexual assault, and he had the wherewithal to clean up the apartment and go home and turn himself in. But that ended up working for him and got him reduced charges. I know there have been claims since 2018. I haven't seen facts of a case, though. But, yeah, there have been some recent ones.
What do people – like, how does America – how do we, like, get rid of this as a tactic, or can we get rid of it as a tactic? Is it something that people will always be able to try and claim in court, or is there something that, you know, legislation can do to prevent that from happening?
So when we're talking about ending as a tactic, I think there are two levels to this. The first is the, you know, legal, the formal level. Yes, we can use legislation to stop it. 10 states have done that. More states are introducing it. And that legislation basically says that, you know, assault or a violent response to discovery, knowledge, or the potential outing of somebody's sexual orientation or gender identity is not permissible. But I think it goes deeper than that. The only way we can really, really stop it is to end homophobia altogether and transphobia and end fragile masculinity. A lot of these people are raised with the idea, you know, that macho man is good and that's what being straight is. And then, you know, sissy boy is what gay people are, and that's bad. And so once you come on to a straight person and you're gay, now you're suddenly questioning their masculinity, and they need to overcompensate either because they don't want to be seen as gay or because they are gay and don't want people to know.
Right. So it's not something what happened in 2018? Because I know that they were trying to do something in 2018, and the Senate, I believe it was the Senate, didn't pass it. And then they're voting again in June on something similar. Is it a federal ban of this tactic, or what is it that they're working on this summer?
Yeah, so they are working on a federal version of this ban. How much it'll have effect on states is a different story. A lot of these federal laws and federal rules only affect federal courts. I haven't read the details of the new one that's up for grabs. I highly doubt it's going to pass because, let's be honest, as long as Republicans have any power, things that are pro-LGBT aren't going to pass. Even simple things like this that aren't even really tacitly approving of the so-called gay agenda, they don't want to be seen touching.
Right. Yeah. And, well, politicians are all dirty. You know how they work. And they're not going to attach their name to something that's even good morally if it means they lose their donors or whatever. How present is this law? How much should people be afraid of it realistically? How much should people actually really be concerned about it, just given that it exists in some of these states?
So as far as fear of the availability of this defense itself, I wouldn't let that stop you from being who you are. I mean, there's much worse things to worry about in America and the world when coming out as queer. So, you know, 1 out of 5 cis queer people are going to be assaulted. 1 out of 4 trans queer people are going to be assaulted. It's just where life is at right now because of the state of homophobia and transphobia. But more often than not, this defense fails. The success rate is less than 50%. But the issue with this defense is the fact that it exists at all. The fact that we allow something that marginalizes an entire community and allows people to say that this community exists, therefore I had a violent response, is ridiculous and opposed to the morals of our society.
Yeah, totally. And so on that note, I mean, I would encourage, and everything will be linked below when this is posted to podcast and to YouTube, but I would encourage people to contact the representatives. I mean, I know as we just said, you said it probably won't pass this law that's coming up, but still we gotta try, we gotta work hard, we gotta contact representatives and let them hear about it. This has been existing since the 40s, right? Like, people have been using this strategy forever. It's just been on the books. Yeah. So while it's been existing forever, it's just now coming up. It's coming up on TikTok. But so I think we need to keep that in mind, that this isn't like something new. It's not like they're coming out and hunting us, you know, one by one. So I hope that does help ease some anxiety, but we do need to be mindful that this still exists and that it is a threat and that we need to try to take care of it. Is there any other laws that are that people should be aware of that are rooted in strong homophobia that pose a threat to our community?
There are plenty of issues and laws that still exist in multiple states that affect the LGBTQ community. I mean, there are multiple states still that don't make it easy for queer couples to adopt kids. There are like surrogacy laws, adoption laws don't make it easy. In all but 20 states, conversion therapy for minors is still legal. There's not every state has included queer folk in their anti-discrimination laws, whether it be the civil anti-discrimination for like housing and employment, or it's the criminal hate crime anti-discrimination laws. So there's plenty of issues out there. One resource that kind of goes state by state and scores states on where they're at is the Movement Advancement Project at lgbtmap.org. And they kind of list the policies and laws pro and against LGBTQ community and kind of score the states on where they're at there.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll link those below for anyone listening. What can someone who's listening do that went to those websites and looked up and saw that they have something that they don't like in their state? Let's say they're in Tennessee and they see that it's hard to adopt, you know, as a gay couple. What can that individual do to move the needle and help reshape the laws that this country runs on?
The easiest things that any community member can do is, one, be an advocate in your community for equality and equal laws. Two, contact your representatives at the state and federal levels for what affects those jurisdictions. Contact your governor's office, because governors often have polls with their state legislatures. Things that are in the courts, like the panic defense, contact the state bar, the Supreme Court, or whoever's in charge of making court rules and jury instructions, to make sure that juries are being instructed that they can't use bias or hate in their deliberations. Get involved with things like the LGBT bar, with your organization, other organizations that work to end discrimination in law and work to end homophobia. And of course, be a good person.
Yeah, right. I like that. I have a bit of a saying. My saying is, education cures ignorance. I don't know if it's not my saying, I didn't come up with that, but I like to say that a lot.
Right.
Because I think it's true. I think for the most part, a lot of there's hateful people for sure, but for a lot of people, it's because they never knew a gay person growing up, or they never had a gay neighbor, and so they're scared of the unknown. But we just need to educate and make ourselves be present. If you had to boil it down, is there anything that you want to leave with? What should people be aware of? Just about this LGBT panic law. What's like, to sum it up, I guess?
I think you kind of summed it up greatly. It's not anything that's new. It's existed for nearly a century. You know, people aren't coming out of the woodwork to suddenly hunt LGBT people. And if they were on the hunt for LGBT people, this defense would likely fail. Mm-hmm. This defense more affects situations where the queer person comes on to a straight person and the straight person, for lack of better, overreacts and beats the person. Mm-hmm. But even then, the majority of the time it fails. This is not a common defense. The problem with this defense isn't that it's being used all the time. It's that it exists at all. It just shouldn't exist.
Yeah. And well, they're voting in June next month. So hopefully they can pass something and get rid of it. What are your socials and your, if you want to drop your law firm or whatnot, where can people find you?
So I'm on TikTok and Instagram as That Prosecutor. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of me. I work for the government, so no law firm. Okay.
Cool. Well, Adam, I really appreciate you coming on and just sharing a bit about your understanding of this law and your knowledge regarding the whole situation. Because I, Lord knows, I'm not a brainiac person. So, you know, talking to people like you definitely is much needed. So, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You all mean so much to me. As a reminder, the links are down below. Go check out the Movement Advancement Project. That's at lgbtmap.org, as well as links to how to contact your representative, how to find and contact the one best appropriate for you. We got to work together. We got to do this. We can change it. As always, you can find us at www.thealphabetmafia.com. Go get yourself a sticker. We're about to release a whole new summer collection of merchandise and apparel, so stay tuned. Once again, I love you all so very much. Have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.